Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to That Girl with me, Danielle Decker. So glad you're here with me today. Did you notice anything different about the beginning of this podcast? I have no music. The app that I'm using, or that I use and have always used to record the podcast and upload it and yada, 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 they're having some issues. And it's been a little bit frustrating for me, but I'm trying to hang on because it's super user-friendly. And I tend to have a lot of user error. So if I have something user-friendly, and I've been using it for, you know, long time now. So hang tight with me. I'm having a hard time with my link. And now all of my intros are gone. And it's all right. It's okay. Because you know what? I'm going to keep pressing forward and I will figure it out. So anyway, I know that's very minor, but I was super disappointed this morning when I'm trying to add my intro and it's not there. But anyway, I hope that you guys are having a great week here where I'm at. We've had some nice weather. The sun's been shining. I guess it did rain last night, but the day was nice anyway. And the kids have been able to be outside. We are so close to spring. Hallelujah. I am so ready for spring. I'm ready to see the buds on the trees. I am ready. I'm ready for a new season. And I know I've talked about this before, but every time we are walking into a new season, like here on this earth, I'm always like, Lord, just help us to enter into a new season with you. You know, he works in seasons. He created seasons. We walk through seasons. Both physically, and, you know, emotionally or mentally and spiritually. And, so let's walk into a new season with God because, and I want to talk about that today because, God's doing something and, we've all seen it. It's all over the news. And, you know, I've had some thoughts about, the Asbury Revival, obviously it started there, but we know that it's spreading. There's revivals happening all over different college campuses, and I'm sure at different churches and things that we don't even hear about. We don't even hear about it. And how amazing. It's shocking when the media that we, can't even trust is actually reporting on these things because it's just too big of a story for them to ignore. And how incredible that God is getting some media time, right? Like, that is just nearly unheard of. And so I kind of want to talk about the revival because I kind of mentioned it a couple weeks ago at church, and I really just have it on my heart to kind of talk about it a little bit more, kind of share my viewpoint with you. And, you know, there's a lot of, talk out there, about the revivals. And unfortunately, sometimes Christians are the first ones to have an opinion about things that isn't always, very Christ-like. You know, the Pharisees were always after Jesus. They wanted to say that what he was doing was wrong and he wasn't obeying their rules and the laws, and, you know, they're just after him all the time. And sometimes the most, quote, religious people are the ones to shake their finger at something that God is doing. And sometimes that happens. And I don't like it because it gives Christians sometimes a bad name, or it gives God a bad name, because there's people out there that they just want to shake their fist at every single thing because they're, you know, just so holier than thou. And, you know, I say forget that, you know. Pastor Paul talked about that on Sunday. I encourage you to check out our 180 app or find our sermons on Facebook. We always post them. He had an incredible sermon about all of that. And because of him, there is one scripture that I want to share because, you know, we don't want to be the ones. We don't want to be the ones to judge what God is doing. I know I'm not. I know I'm not going to look at that and say, well, that's not God, or why doesn't it look like this, or a revival should be this, or a revival should be that. Like, really, who are you to say what a revival is supposed to be? And all we know is people are getting saved and they're coming to Jesus. And I mean, it's spreading like wildfire. I'll be the last one to find something negative about that. And I want to read to you real quick here in Isaiah 59 verse 19, because, you know, Satan, he always thinks he's winning. He, we had the Grammys, which was just absolutely disgusting and disturbing, which that's just like one tiny thing of how disturbing everything is. I mean, let's talk about, well, I could go down a serious rabbit hole with you and I'm not going to do that, but you know, the Grammys, it was basically like a Satan worshiping session right in front of, you know, everyone's faces. But what I loved, and I saw this, and I know this statistic isn't even right anymore because it's had so many more views even since I saw this, but it said that the Grammys had like 12.1 million views, but the Asbury Revival had like 36 million views. And I know it's like well over like 60 something million at this point. But why I say that is because every time Satan thinks he's winning, he thinks he's really doing something, God's like, really? Watch this. And that brings us to the Isaiah 59 verse 19. And it says, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun," which is east to west. "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." See, Satan thinks that he's winning, but when he comes in like a flood, and I don't know about you, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that Satan has come in to our country like a flood. He's come into our media. He's come into our schools, our universities. He's come in everywhere. I mean, we see it. He is here like a flood. And God says, nope, I am the one that will set the standard. There's nothing that will come against who God is. And I love that because it's like the minute Satan thinks he's winning, he's not. God says, oh, really? Watch this. And I believe that we are in a time of watch this. And I love it. And but I want to talk about the revival in a way of seeing how incredible it is. But what I want to talk about is what happens after the revival, right? Like we see the revival happening. We see people's lives being changed. And I shared this. So if you heard me talk about this at church on Sunday, bear with me, but it's worth repeating. I've had so many people say, and this is not a bad thing. So let me preface it by saying this. I'm not saying this with a negative undertone at all. I'm just stating here. I've had so many people say to me, "I wish I could be at that revival. I want to go to that revival. I want to feel God's presence there. I want to be there." You know, all these things. And I just say to that, the Spirit of God is not bound to that building in Asbury. The only reason that a revival started there is because a couple people surrendered and said yes to what God was doing with them in that moment. The Spirit of the Lord, that is revival, lives on the inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, when you receive Jesus, you receive the Spirit of the Lord. We have the exact same Spirit. There's no reason why we have to go somewhere else to, one, start a revival, or two, feel God's presence, ever. Now, is there power when we're all together and worshiping? Absolutely. Of course there is. There's no denying that. I thank God for my time on Sunday mornings when we are worshiping as a community and as a family and corporate worship. There is nothing like it. So don't get me wrong in that sense. But what I mean by that is we get in this habit of, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. But nobody ever wants to be the one to start it here. Nobody ever wants to be the one to say, I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to do the things that God's calling me to do, and I'm going to surrender to that because I want to start a revival right here, right now, in my church, in my town, right? Because that seems like too much work, or it seems impossible. God would never do that for me. And it's like, that's so far That's so far from the truth. God is calling us and expects all of us to understand the revival. A revival is literally taking something that was dead and breathing new life into it. We're restarting, breathing new life. And I don't know about you, but I think now is the time to breathe new life into so many things. And it's not our life. It's not breathing our life into new things. It's God breathing His life into us. And you saying, yes, Lord, I want to take that newness. I want to be revived again to the things of God. I want my heart and my soul, I want to be revived to who you've called me to be. Lord, let a revival start within myself. Let me fan the flame within myself that as I begin to burn for you, I help set someone else aflame. Amen. That's what revival is. Because the flame that is fanned and the flame that is started on the inside of you isn't just for you, it's for someone else. People need the fire that has been burned on the inside of you when we say yes to Jesus and we say, Lord, I want a revival in my own life. Because you can walk into the Asbury revival and feel nothing if you're not open and receptive to receive what God has for you for this day, for this moment, for your life. Those people are surrendering. Are you going to surrender? Are you going to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want that? Because He can do that for you. He's ready, willing, and waiting to do that for you right now. It doesn't take you going somewhere else and catching someone else and feeling God somewhere else. He says, I want to do that for you because I love you. And He loves the people of Asbury, and He loves the people of Chicago and Colorado and all of that. Please don't twist my words, because I think it's incredible what God is doing. But the only difference is those people said, yes, Lord. And are we going to say yes? Are we going to be the ones to light a fire within ourselves, let God fan that flame, and us take that somewhere else? See, we want to be a part of it because that's how we are in our generation. We just want the excitement. I just want to be there. I just want to be in that excitement, right? Because what happens is we tend to glorify the wedding and not the marriage, right? We spend all of our time planning for the wedding, and we talk about the wedding and the wedding day and what it's going to be like, and da 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 da. We got to find the newest things, and I want it to be great, and there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens when the wedding is over? What happens when you don't have anything else to plan? What happens when now it's time to live in your home with your husband and create a family and start living for God as a couple? What happens then? You've spent so much time on the wedding that you forgot about the marriage. And I don't want that to happen with revival. I don't want to spend so much time on the moment of what is happening in the moment with the revival that when people turn around and walk out of that building, they have no idea how to keep living for God. They have no idea how to keep fanning the flame that was lit while they were inside of that revival. I don't want that, because then it was all for nothing. Yes, sure, people are getting saved, and that isn't nothing. Praise God. They're going to heaven. A life is saved. A soul is saved. They'll never be the same. But as we know as Christians, God didn't come just to save us for eternity. He came to save us that we might have life and life more abundantly. And that means every single day living for Jesus. And how do we do that? How do we do that if we keep only glorifying the revival? We have to glorify the life of a Christian every single day. And who God is for you every single day. In the moment when we're in the darkest valley, we give the God the same glory that we do when He is creating a revival that is spreading like wildfire. That is the same God. And if we can't praise God in the low, then we haven't learned how to truly praise Him. We haven't learned how to truly live our life in a revival, letting God breathe His new life into us every single day, because surrender and laying our life down for Him and saying yes is every single day. Sometimes every single moment laying our life down. What happens when the revival is over? What happens when we walk out? See, it reminds me of, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to go verse 20 through 21. And you guys know this parable. He's talking about the sower and the seed. Because these people that are receiving for the first time at these revivals, can you imagine their excitement? Can you imagine the fire that is burning inside of them? They are completely on fire for God right now. And it just swells my heart so much because I don't want their excitement to burn out. I want for them to stay there. But we read in Matthew 13, verse 20 through 21, it says, "But he who received the seed is the word of God, the good news, the gospel. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." Immediately he stumbles. And I'm here to tell you that we are going to face and are facing right now tribulation and persecution. See, it takes more than just receiving the word with joy. That is good. Yes, of course it is. But when the tribulation and the persecution comes, there's no root within that person. And so they're completely choked out. We stumble immediately because there's no root. And that's why the revival is just the beginning. At some point, everybody has to go home. At some point, it's going to end. And I hope that it doesn't. I hope that it keeps going. But you get what I'm saying. At some point, you're going to go home. At some point, you're not going to stay in that building with all of those people and all the music and all the believers. You have to go back out into this world because we can't stay there. Because now, once you've received Jesus, you have a new job. And your job is to go out and share the gospel, spread the good news so that others might be saved. And when you do that, and when you receive that, and when you receive Jesus and say, "Now I'm on a mission for him," the tribulation and the persecution comes. It is standing at your door waiting for you. So it takes root. It takes you knowing who you are. It takes you knowing what Jesus has done for you. It takes you surrendering. It takes you praising him in the deepest valley as you did during the revival. That's what it takes. It takes you living every single day for God. It's not enough to have the revival, walk out, and never do anything with it. It's not. And I'm telling myself this because how easy it is to stumble. It's harder to stay in revival mode than it is to stumble. It's easy to let the world choke you out because it's waiting to choke you out. You think that when you receive Jesus, Satan lets you go? It's like, "Oh, well, they've received Jesus. I guess I better leave them alone." No. He says, "Oh, no. Another one knows the truth," because even Satan knows the truth. Even Satan knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than we do half the time. And that's really sad, because you want to know what? The reason he attacks us so hard is because he knows the truth. He knows God's word. He knows what God can do. Why do you think he attacks you so hard? He knows God is bigger, and that's why he comes after us. And it's up to us to say, "No, I am standing and living for Christ. I know what he's done for me. I know what he wants from me. I know who I am in him. I know whose name I bear. I know the inheritance that I have received. I know where my eternity is. So it doesn't matter what happens on this earth. It doesn't matter what I walk through. I know who wins. I have the victory through Jesus." And this is why he tells us, and I'm encouraging you because I'm not going to take the time to read it all today, but I want you to go back and read about putting on the full armor of God. And if you go back many, many, many episodes, I did an entire podcast, I think it was two even, of putting on the full armor of God. And that's in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. There is a reason Listen, the minute you receive Jesus, you better start waking up and putting on that full armor, because you are walking out into a battle every day. And that's not to scare you. That's not to make you feel bad or down or like, oh my gosh, that's just too much. I just can't do this. No. You're missing it. You already have the victory. Put the armor on because you've already won. Get in the word and read because you've already won. Now it's time for you to just learn and grow in it. Because you have the victory, whether you know the truth or not, you already have it. But see, you're not going to walk in it and live in it if you don't know it. You have it. You have the victory. But you don't know that unless you read and get to know him. Amen? That's the difference. Satan is doing everything he can right now to get you to walk away, to get you to think that the only way I can receive from God is if I do something huge or I receive something huge. No. Don't do that. You're selling yourself short and you're selling God short. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. You've already received everything that you need to be able to live out the life that God has purposed for you. And if we go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, let me get there. It says, "But you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I'm here to tell you that if you have received Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the Spirit that breathes new life into you, that revives what's dead inside of you, that fans the flame of what God's doing so that you might burn and that others might catch your fire. That is revival. I'm not telling you to not go. I'm not telling you to not want to be a part of that. It's incredible. Would it be amazing? Absolutely. Of course it would. But I am here to tell you this. There was a woman that I heard about, and I heard this through someone else, that said she and her daughter drove 17 hours to get to the Asbury Revival. But we won't even drive and sit in a 1 hour church service. Seriously? Listen, that might sting a little bit, but it should. We're like, I want to be a part of that. But you're not doing anything in your local church? You think that worship is too long? You don't like the message? I don't want to get up early? Stop that. Stop it. If you want revival, start where you are. God is not bound somewhere else. He is living on the inside of you. So what happens after the revival is over? When the doors are shut, the lights are turned off, and everyone has gone home. Now what? Now it takes us understanding who we are, understanding how much Jesus loves us and what he has done for us. That's what we do. We live our life in surrender to him so we can live out the call and the purpose that he has for us. And in that, that's when you find true happiness. That's when you find true peace. It's only in him. His plan for you is only good. And he already took into consideration who you are, who you would be when he had that plan, because his plan and purpose for you never changes. It was never based upon how good you were to begin with. It was only based upon his goodness. And every time we stray, he says, that's okay. I'm still right here. Let's go. Let's keep walking. And if we take a step in faith, we're able to walk with him in peace and in unity. So let that revival start on the inside of you. You have what it takes for revival. And I pray that God is breathing a revival into you, breathing his new breath into you. begin to get in prayer with God. Spend some time with Him. Open your Bible and start reading it. It is not hard. God didn't make this so confusing so that only a few people could understand it. No. Because listen, when you receive Jesus and that Holy Spirit we're talking about, when you open your Bible, you pray, Holy Spirit, reveal and unfold Jesus to me as I read. And guess what? He is faithful to do that for you. He is. I promise you. Because He's done it for me over and over and over again. And I am not any different from anybody else. I pray today that this message has encouraged you, has started to fan that flame that's on the inside of you, that you can be the one to start a revival within yourself, within your home, within your church, within your community. Start where you are, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. So share this message with other people. Every time you share this message, other people get to come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus, that they might also be blessed and encouraged. And I appreciate every single time that you do. I love you all. I pray today, God, breathe new life in us. Revive us to you once again, Lord. I hope you all have a great rest of your week, and I'll see you here next week at That Girl.